Boker Tov World. Today's daf in Masechet Sotah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Gimel. And we're holding on the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis, in the continuation of the Mishnah, where the Kohen speaks to the Am, and he tells them that the Goyim, they come, and it's Chanov, they're whatever superhero they have. But Atem Yatem Ken, because Hashem Elokecha, Umis Halech, and so on. What is that, the need over here to specifically say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually comes with us? I mean, all you need to say, l'chora, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us. So, v'kukach lama. Why do you have to specify that it's as if he's there with us? Ha'olechi machem li'lachem lachem. That's like a big thing to say. Mipnei, and that's the whole point. Mipnei shashem v'chol kinuyav munachim ba'aron. Point over here is that the Shem Hashem is sitting there in the Oren. And this means that all of the Shemais HaKadosh and all of the kinuyim, the Rambam has only the basic kinuyim listed, but there's the whole Kabbalistic idea of the Shem Hashem, of the Shem, which is called the Shem of Shivei B'Shtayim Oisiyos, which some are mefarshit, that's the Inyan over here, and that is Gufa, it's the famous three psukim, in which we're mechaber, one pasuk going in the right direction, the next pasuk going in the backwards direction, the next one going in the right direction, and then we our mechaber, one letter, letter one, these are three psukim, one after the other, with 72 letters. Each one of them are 72 letters. So because of that, we're talking about a shame that we put together with the Vayisa Malach Elohim, Haolech Lifnei Machanei Yisrael, Vayelech Miachareihem, Vayisa Amud Ha'anan Bipneihem, Vayamud Miachareihem. 72 letters. The next pasuk also has 72 letters. Vayavo bin machane Mitzrayim uvein machane Yisrael, vayi ha'anan v'hachoshech v'yores ha'layla, lo korav zel ze kol ha'layla. 72 letters. The next pasuk also has 72 letters. Vayit Moshe et yado al ha'yam, vayolech ha'lunay et ha'yam b'ruach kadima ze kol ha'layla, vayosem et ha'yam l'chorava, vayi baku ha'mayim. So if we take the first pasuk in the correct order, the second pasuk we put in the inverted order, and the third pasuk goes back to the right order. And then you take the first letter of each one of the psukim, the second letter of each one of the psukim, you end up with 72 separate shemais of three letters. And obviously, these three psukim are referring to the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes the Yish Milchama, so to speak, and prepares for the destruction of Mitzrayim. So that's why we're talking about this particular shem, because it's the really separate Shemus. Now, why do we call it the 70-letter Shem in some places? Because two of the Shemus, remember, Rashi explains in Masechet Sukkah, and that's the Ani V'ho Shiana. That comes from the first of there's no real middle, but those two Shemus of Ani V'ho are considered to be the most inclusive of all of the Shemites, and they are the relationship between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because of that, we take those two out from just the groupings of all of these various Shemites, but each one of these Shemites has amazing Ramazim, and the Balei Kabbalah bring it all the time, which of these Shemites are miyuchet, for which type of Hanog, and so on. Fine, okay, as I said, the Rambam doesn't even list any of this as considered to be kinuyim. He only lists the Kel, Kelokim, Tzvakot, Shakai, and so on. So over here you have these psukim, and you have all of the kiddush, all of the shemas, Yudkevovke, and so on, that are written in so many places. And that sefer goes out with them into the milchama. V'cheinu omer, we see this by Midian. It says, "Vayishlachu tam Moshe elef lamatel tzava otam ve'et Pinchas." Now, Notice that it says Otam twice. First, if I shlach Otam, Moshe, and then it repeats, Otam ve'et Pinchas. What is that all about? So, Eishlach Otam, that was the 1,000 people that were taken, one from every one of the Shvatim, and that was very unusual because it included Shevet Levi. And then it repeats, Otam, that's referring to Sanhedrin, because this milchama, remember, was a milchama to establish the morality of Yisrael and the dinim of those who had attempted to destroy that, which included Bilam. So they required a Sanhedrin to be done, because these were civilians, so to speak. They weren't fighting. You can't just kill people. But the idea over here is that there was a din on these people. So they needed a Sanhedrin there. Pinchas is the one who became the Meshuv Milchama. The Klei HaKodesh, what is that referring to? That's referring to the Oren and the Luchais that were in the Oren. The Chatzotzrot HaTruah refers to the Shofarot, which is very strange because there weren't any Shofarot. There were just the Chatzotzrot. And that it says, the Chatzotzrot, that you're supposed to actually blow on the Chatzotzrot when you're in the Milchama. I mean, that's, it says Beferish in the Pasuk, right? So, I mean, it can't really mean, it says, Ki tavo milchama b'artzachem, al hatzar hatzorer etchem, v'hariyotim b'chatzotzrot. Doesn't say a darn thing about shofarot. So it's a lot of discussion about this issue, because remember that the Gemara says that the name for chatzotzrot and shofarot became switched. And therefore, it could be that the Gemara is being samech on that. Some of the mefarshim say that, which is possible. But there's also another fascinating issue, because over here it says beferish v'chitavol milchama be'artzechem al atzar atzorer etchem. And that, according to some Rishonim, means that these chatzotzrot were only said on a milchama in Eretz Yisrael. And over here, we're not talking about a milchama in Eretz Yisrael with the milchamas Midian. And maybe over there was indeed a different type of Klei HaKodesh, which included the shofarot to take the place of the Chatzotzrot HaKesef. Okay, fascinating issues, which are more nogea the dinim of Milchama, really, than here the halachas of Saita. But the other question is, of course, when it says over here the Oren and the Luchai Shabai, so this is a rather astounding kind of thing, because we know there's a big machlokas about whether the Oren ever went out l'milchama. Remember, there's definitely one on the Omer who says that the Oren HaBris never went out l'milchama, except that one time that was the story by Eli, and the one time that it went out, that was the time that it was captured. There was no heter to bring it out. It was an act of desperation when they saw how overwhelming the might of the Plishtim was, and so on. So that would be l'chora. I mean, over here the Gemara is saying not like that. So Rashi learns, I mean, the Mishnah is saying, so Rashi learns that what we're talking about over here is going according to the Man D'Omer, who says that there were Shnei Aronot. And what was the other Orain? The other Orain was the Orain where Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the second Luchai. So over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him that he should make a box for those Luchas. We even had the interesting Pirush of the Rishonim. I don't want you holding those Luchas like you did last time. You're going to smash them again. Put them in a box. Keep them safe this time. Anyway, so that box was not the Orein HaBris that was made out of gold and with all of the dinim that Bezalel made. And there he put the Luchas until the Orein was made. Once the Orein was made, so then they split the Luchas and they put the Luchas HaShniyim into Bezalel's Orein. And the Luchas that referred to over here are the Shivrei Luchas. And the Shivrei Luchas, those were kept in Moshe Rabbeinu's box, which means that the Raiders of the Lost Ark, they got it wrong because they had the Shivrei Luchas, but not necessarily. Because, I mean, you're going to say they got it wrong, stop. Because the truth is that there are those who say that the only time, as it says after all in the Gemara, Luchas for Shivrei Luchas are Munachim Bo'orein. So how could we say, like Rashi is saying over here, that we had a separate box, which that was the Oren that was taken out to war? So those who understand that it means that Luchas v'Shivrei Luchas or Menachem Ba'Oren in Bezalel's Oren learned that after the Beis HaMikdash was built, that then everything was combined into the Luchas and Shivrei Luchas of Bezalel, because now it's being put into its Mokim, as we learned before. And in its Mokim, everything was there in its place, and we never took it out again, like the Yerushalmi says. So there's attempts to put all of the three different Shitas over here together at different points in history. But in any event, it says over here that the Kayin would say this on the wars outside. And the way that we're understanding it now is that all of these Shemais were Yotzim Mitoch Psukim in the Sefer Torah that they had in the Oren, which is the Pashta. So it could be that they still use that to take a Sefer Torah out with them. Maybe at that point, it wouldn't have been the Luchais. Okay, but in any event, this was definitely done L'Doreis, because this is the words that the Kayin says to them. And it says Pinchas. Why does it say Pinchas instead of just HaKayin, which would have meant the Bishul Bechama? Because it was specifically Pinchas that went to fight in Midian. Tana, lo l'chinam alach Pinchas l'milchama. It wasn't just Stam that Pinchas was the one who was chosen to be the Mashiach Bechama here for the war with Midian. He went as a special job to pay them back, which they deserved to get from him, because he had to pay back the Midianim for what they did to his grandfather. And his grandfather, his maternal grandfather, was Yosef. And the Midianim had sold him to Mitzrayim. Shemra ha-Midanim bachru oto Mitzrayim. So he went to be Noikim. Wait a minute. You're telling me Pinchas' grandfather was Yosef? But I thought we learned from the pasuk that it was actually Yisro. It says, "Ve'lazar ben Aharon, lekach lo mibnot Putiel, lo leisha." So, who are the bnot Putiel? I mean, doesn't that mean that he was Ati Yitro? Elazar, Pinchas's father, took a wife from Yitro's daughters, and he's called Putiel. She pitei magalim avodat kochavim, which means that the father of the mother of Pinchas wasn't Yosef, it was Yisro. Actually, no, it was Yosef. And the word Putiel does not mean Shepitei Margalot, it means Shepit Peit B'Yitzro. He made fun of his Yitzhara. Yitzhara thought he had Yosef in his hands, and Yosef escaped. But wait a minute, I mean, what about the Gemara? The Gemara goes through the whole drasha, that the Shvatim, the Vadid HaKadosh Baruch Hu come, and he gave the whole beautiful introduction, Pinchas ben Elazar, and so on and so forth, and he gives him a Yashar Koach, Alo Shvatim Mevazim Oto. Wasn't that because the Shvatim were all saying, what a chutzpah, this Pinchas idiot, Re'item ben Putize, ben Shepitema V'imo Agalim L'Avodat Kochavim. His maternal grandfather was going around and fattening up animals for bringing his karbonis to Avodah Zarah. After all, remember that Yisro was like the chief of the guy who was the comparative religion chief. I mean, he went around and tested them all out. So he should have the chutzpah to come and Yarob Nasi B'Yisro. He went ahead and he killed Zimri, who was the Nasi of Shevet Shimon. How do you do that? So it must be anyway, you see from the Gemara, that he was from Puti, meaning Yisro. Okay, fine, says the Gemara. So he was from both. What's the big deal? If his Avua di'ime, so if his mother's father was from Yosef, so then it means that his mother's mother was from Yisro. And if, I mean, we don't have enough information. If his mother's mother was from Yisro, then his mother's father was from Yosef, then his mother's father was from Yisro. But basically, he was still both from Yisro and from Yosef. And because of that, our sugya, which says that he went to be Noikim, the Mechira of the Midianim, is still a reasonable approach. And the truth is that we find that Putiel was written with an extra yud in order to actually be medayek that there were two elements, Pitei Magalot and Pitei B'Yitzro, to be merames, that it's both. So Daikanami, Dichtiv Lakachlo mi Bnot Putiel with a Yud, Trei Mashma. So we have both Pitpeit and Pitim, Shma Mina, that indeed it's clear that Pinchas came from both Which brings us to a very important moment. We've got one hidden Capitan, and we've got a Doc who is very much exposed and ready to act instantly if this Capitan doesn't get to work. Saved by the bell.
What?
Saved by the bell. So now we'd like to understand exactly who said what. Because, I mean, yes, it says V'nigash HaKohen, it is Diber La'am, and he tells them this whole beautiful story, you know, that today you're coming to Milchama, La'ivechem, and you shouldn't be afraid of anything. Okay, that I understand, that it says that the Kohen says it. But then it says, V'dibru HaShoterim La'am L'mor, Mi Yaish Asher Bona Bait Chadash, V'lo Chanacho, Yelech V'yashov V'beto, Pen Yamut Ben Milchama, V'ish Acher Yachnechena. And then it says, Umi Yaish, all of this is after the words V'dibru HaShoterim, right? Then it says, Umi Yaish Asher Nata Kerem, V'lo Chilolo. Lo Chilolo, in terms of the Kerem, was that he did not as yet be Mechalel his Neter Avoy. So he still has his Neter Avoy there to be Mechalel. He should also Yelech V'yashuv L'beito Pen Yamut B'milchama V'ish Acher Yechalelenu. And this is still continuing with the Shoterim. Umi Ha'ish Asher Eres Isha V'lo L'kacha Yelech V'yashuv L'beito Pen Yamut B'milchama V'ish Acher Yikachena. But then it says, V'yosefu HaShoterim L'daber La'am, that they should add more stuff, and they should say, V'yomru, Mi ha'ish ha'yorei v'rach ha'levav, yelech v'yashov v'veto, v'lo yimasit b'vav echav kilvavo. So this is very confusing, because was the V'dibru HaShoterim, wasn't that already said that they were saying it? So in what sense are they V'yosefu HaShoterim? So there seems to be like two different layers of what it is that the Shoterim said. And what's more, it's also quite confusing when it talks about the Kohen. Is there one Kohen or are there two Kohanim? Because, I mean, it says the word Kohen again. So that's also a problem, which we'll get to later. So the Mishnah first wants to explain the V'dibru HaShoterim. Okay, so first of all, what's included in the things that the V'dibru HaShoterim? Remember, we learned yesterday that according to the Rambam, the entire parsha is said over as the Pekudat Hayom, so to speak, by the Kohen at the Sfar, and then we get into these issues, what happens as they're actually being nigash l'milchama. So there it says V'dibru HaShoterim, Now, this does not mean only bone bayit. It would include even a guy who builds a barn, and he's bone bayit ateven, or he builds himself a barn for cattle, a bayit abakar, or he builds himself a storage barn for wood, bayit haitzim, or even if he's got a storehouse for Beit HaOtzarot, where he keeps his grain, he keeps his oil. Not only that, even though it says buy it, that it means all that, even though it says boneh, it doesn't mean only boneh. It could be that he bought it, it could be that he was yorish it, it could be somebody gives him a matana. All of this is included, and the Gemara, of course, will try to be medayik from the psukim. How do we know to expand the psukim in this way? Then the next pasuk. Here also, doesn't mean he literally needs to be notea. You could be, I mean, notea rather, a kerem, mamish, a vineyard. He could be notea, five fruit trees. That's also called the kerem in the broader sense of an orchard. And the truth is, it doesn't even have to be an orchard of the same tree. He could have like these five different trees that were growing in a orchard of a minimum of five trees, as we'll see. And if he's got notea chamisha ilanei ma'achal, even from chameshet haminim. Not only that, even though it says hanotea, it doesn't mean he really needs to be notea. He could be mavrich. So mavrich, remember, is to insert one of the branches into the ground until it sprouts roots in the ground. Now, there's two different types of harkava, one of which, after the roots grow, you detach the branch from the original tree. And there's another type of harkava where it continues to be connected to the original tree. We'll see that this makes an afkamina lahalach in terms of the chiyav of orla. But we'll talk about that later. But here, it would include a mavrich or a markiv. A markiv, of course, is grafting, where you drill a hole, take out some of the contents of the wood of the tree that's there, that's called the host tree. You take out some of the wood of the host tree, and now you put in the branch of the parasite, so to speak, the tree that you're putting into the host. That's called harkava. So even if you do that, it's also considered to be the same as notea. And, I mean, you don't even have to be notea anything. I mean, you just buy them, you know, or you could inherit them, or you could get them as a gift, exactly the same as we spoke about of the house. Now, mi ha'isha sher eres isha, what is that? Well, first of all, it doesn't matter what kind of isha. She could be a bitula, she could be an almana, she could even be a shomeret yavam. His brother dies. We're going to see later on that if there was a family in the war, one of the brothers die, so then all of the other brothers have to go back because of the kiyum of the mitzvah of yibum, and therefore they are now in a position of eres isha, since the brother died. So now they have a woman that they never took. So they're all putter from the milchama. So when it says that he asher eres isha, makes it sound like it's something, you know, wow, completely new. No, that's not the point. It's new to him. That's the point. And that would be, therefore, even if his brother died in the war, he is put at that point. Chazaru bolo. So kol elu ve'elu, all of the cases that we just discussed, they hear what the Kohen has to say, and then they're chozerim. In other words, they have to go out to the war, and they present themselves, and after they're already accounted for, then they hear the words of the Kohen. Then remember, we had a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam, according to most, and that Rashi holds that they would be chaser at the Sfar. The Rambam holds that no, that was just like a general intro. Only they come all the way out to the attack at the point of the battle, then they're told to go out, and then they go back. They're chuzrim, and even though it says in the pasuk yashuv lebeito, it doesn't mean yashuv lebeito now. It means, since they may die, we want them to leave so that they will eventually be yashuv lebeito. But right now, during the war, they do not go home. That's exactly the point. So they needed to be mityatsev for the war. And now they're sent to the support behind the lines so that they shouldn't get killed in the war. But they're still going to be doing the engineering, the cooking. They're going to get to make sure that the water is there. They fix the roads and everything like that. So they're misapkim, mayim, mazon, they're metaknim et hadrachim. So they definitely do not go back home. So they're part of the war. But there's a whole other parsha in the Torah that talks about people that don't even go and they don't have to show up at all. Elu she'enam chozrim. So there are people that bechalal do not go out, and that's talking about habone. Sorry, I skipped. I'm so sorry. Not up to there yet. Elu she'enam chozrim, the ones who don't go back, even though they did build, or even though they do have a new wife, it's like this. Somebody was bone a beit shar, achsadra mirpeset. So he added to his house, right? So he puts on a new porch, or he's got like a beit shar to the entry to the... That's not called a bayit at all. And that doesn't get him out of it's a cheaper way to get out of the army, right? Just build yourself a new mirpeset. You can imagine the amount of advertisements. Build your mirpeset in a day. If you do not have a full kerem, you only have four fruit trees. And even if you've got five ilanei srak, an ilan srak is not called an orchard, and that's not called a kerem at all. So, or if you took a new wife, but you were once married to her before, so it's marxir grushato. That, as we'll see, is not included in those who will go back. also somebody who has a woman, but that woman is asura to him. So let's say an almana l'kohen gadol, a grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedya, a mamzeret netina l'Yisrael, a bat Yisrael a mamzeret netin. Since these are not kosher marriages, they don't go back. Of course, the problem is that according to the Rambam, remember, a kohen would never go to war because he's part of Shevet Levi. And the Rambam says, the entire Shevet Levi never goes out to war. That's mamish like one of the mitzvahs, one of the Tariq mitzvahs, according to the Rambam. So what are we talking about? If he's a Amona l'Kohen Gadol, and if he's a Grush of a Chalutza l'Kohen Hedyot. So this is a whole big problem of whether it means that it's usur for Levi to go out, or that they're not drafted, but they can volunteer. So then if they volunteered, they would have to go back. Is this a din specifically? As some suggest that this was a din dafka in terms of a milchama for Eretz Yisrael. And here we're talking about the milchamas where he was Yotzei to the Svar. A lot of discussion. There's a lot of machlokasin about whether it's really true that a Levi would never be able to go to war, and that the milchamas Midian was a special and unique once-in-history event. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you should know that there's other cases where even if it is new, it doesn't count. It's the same thing if you would be bona a bayit, but you had this bayit before, but the whole house was torn down, and you rebuilt it. But you rebuilt it to the way it was before. You didn't add anything. So then that's like marrying the same woman that you were married to before. That doesn't count. So in this, he's arguing with the Tanakhama. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, even if you would build a new house, but you're building a house made out of bricks in the Sharon, and we know that the bricks in the Sharon did not hold up. So it was not a binyan kva. You needed to rebuild them every shvius. You had to rebuild them two times during each Shemitah. That doesn't count. We'll see the diyukim in the pasuk. Now, here's where I skipped to. Very sorry. Elu she'en zazim mimekoman. The following don't budge. They don't go out to be counted. They don't show up to make it clear that they have their cards punched. They don't leave. This is somebody who was bana abayit, and he was bechanech abayit. But he was still within the first year of living. Now, that's something else. Because there it says, Ki yikach ish isha chadasha lo yetze batzava velo yavor alav l'chol davar. There he does not go out to work on the roads and to be part of the engineering corps. Na ki yi elevato shana achat. This is the din of the, that we call today shana rishana, where you have to stay with your wife. V'simach et ishto asher lakach. That person does not go out for anything, even for the army, for the support of the army. So therefore, if he was bona bayit, or if he was not a kerem, but he was mechalal the kerem, but it's still within the first year. He was no seyat arusato, but he actually was not yet finished the first year of being married to her. Or even if he was koneset yivimto, but it's still within the first year. These halachas are all, he doesn't go out and doesn't work bichlal. Of course, remember that this is all talking about milchemes rishus. Milchemes mitzvah, we have afilu chatan, michupato, and so on and so forth. Shenemar, naki yiye leveto shanacha. So leveto, even though it doesn't say all of the dinim, it doesn't say mi aisha shenata kerem v'chinacho. So where do we get all of these halachas that it's not only a din in the first year of a wife, but it's also first year of a vineyard, first year of a new home? Where do we get that? Says the Mishnah, it's diyukim in the pasuk. Leveto. Okay. I mean, leveto adds literally veto, because it said already isha, and it says at the end, v'simachat ishto. So what are you adding, beveto? Beveto means literally a new house. Yihyeh. What's the meaning of the yihyeh leveto? The naki yihyeh is some other being, some other state which is similar. That's referring to Carmel. V'simachet ishto, that's ishto, asher lakach, is even yevimto. And therefore, ein maspikim mayim u'mozein, ein metaknim et hadrachim, naki yihyeh, he is completely clean, clear from any type of problem. Tanrabon. So it says v'dibru hashoterim. Okay, now this is where we run into trouble. Because at the end of the v'dibru hashoterim, after it says, mi'ayishashot banabayit, mi'ayishashot natakerem, mi'ayishashot ezisha, it then starts again with the shoterim. Because it says v'yasfu hashoterim ledaber. So I'm very confused. So they already finished. So then who was the Dibur HaShoterim before? Yochol Dvarim Shel Atzmam. So you might think that that is the entire speech about Miyayisha Sher Natakerem that's made by the Shoterim. No. Because if that would be the case, how do you explain the fact that three psukim later it says v'yosfu hashoterim? If they've been speaking all along, so they're not, what are they adding? Those are dvarim shel atzmam that the Kohen doesn't say. So what does that prove to me? So hare dvarim shel atzmam amur, hamani mekayem v'dibru hashoterim. That means that they are saying over what the Mashuach Milchama said. That's the point. So b'divrei Mashuach Milchama katuv b'daber. So how do we explain this? Okay, tzad. Kohen medaber v'shoter mashmia. So this is like an amira. So the Kohen speaks, and then the shoter spreads it. The shoterim go around the am, and they say to make sure everybody hears the message. Toni choda. So we have three contradictory brises. One brisa says, Kohen medaber v'shoter mashmia. So this means, like we just said, there's the Kohen, and then there's the Shoter who's Mashmia. That is the Pasuk of Dibru HaShoterim. But then we have another Braisa that contradicts that. Tanya Idach, Kohen Midaber, the Kohen Mashmia. What? And then we have another Braisa that says Shoter Midaber, the Shoter Mashmia. So how do you explain all these Braisas? Rabbaya, look, it's very simple. From the opening Pasuk, so v'nigash ha'kohen el ha'am, until the second pasuk after that, which is after all of the discussion of atem yotzim ve'chem and so on, all of those psukim are said by the Kohen. And that's until the words v'dibru ha'shoterim. Okay. Then that's said by the Kohen medaber, the Kohen mashmia. The Rambam says b'ferish that this means the Kohen HaMashuach Milchama says them, and there's another Kohen that we haven't heard about until now, who is appointed under the Kohen Mashuach Milchama, and he goes around and says those important opening words about Hashem Elokechem is with you, lo shia etchem. That's said by a Kohen and repeated by the Kohen to everyone. Then, from the words v'dibru HaShoterim, until three psukim later, v'yasfu ha'shoterim, that the Kohen Mashuach Milchama says, and the shoter repeats the words of the Mashuach Milchama to the am. And then from v'yasfu ha'shoterim, three psukim later, and the rest, that is the shoteres mashmia, that's the mi'ayish ha'yorev ha'rach ha'levav, that the Kohen doesn't speak about people who are frightened, only the shoter does that. Shoter mashmidaber, the shoter mashmia. So over there we have the shoterim going around and telling everyone. Okay. Miyayish asher bana bayit chadash. So we said, doesn't matter whether he built it, whether he bought it, whether it was yorish it, whether not nu b'matana. Where's the mocker of this? Tana rabbana. Asher bana. In the ala bana. How do we know that if it was lokach yorash nitano b'matana? Talmud lomar, mi ha'ish asher bana. You said mi bana bayit. But if you say mi ha'ish, it means anybody. Now, not anybody can be bona bayit. So, I mean, it means, therefore, but for all practical purposes, anybody is included over here to be bona bayit. And that would mean that even if he bought it, or even if it was given to him as a gift. Eli Alabayit. How did the Mishnah know that a Beit HaTeven, a Beit HaBoker, a Beit HaEitz, a Beit HaOtzrot, that all of those are included? Talmud Lomar, Asher Bana. It doesn't say Asher Bayit Bana. It says Asher Bana, and then it says Bayit. So that would mean any type of binyan that is similar to a Bayit. And that's the reason that we said that if you just built a porch, it doesn't count. Because Yocho Shanimar Be'afa Bone Beit Sharach Sadrum Merpeset, Talmud Lomar, no, Bayit. Bayit is Ra'ula Dira. We're talking about things where you can actually live. And certainly, just to live outside on the porch is not a bayit. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, I disagree. I understand the word bayit means a bayit, not a barn. Where you get a barn is a bayit. So he doesn't agree to the Asher Bana. Now let's go back to the end of the pasuk. V'lo chanacho. Now, why does it repeat chanacho? Why does it say v'lo chanach? Lo chanacho adds a specification of the vav, it. So what is it as opposed to what? As opposed to somebody who stole. So you would say, if somebody has this bayit because he stole it, so then that would also pater him? No, it will not pater him. But then that means that this bright is connected to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Because Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says that the meaning of the pasuk at the end of Yasfua Shotrim, Mia Isha Yore Varach HaLevav, doesn't mean somebody who is psychologically afraid. It means somebody who did an Avera, and therefore he's Yore from the Avera Shabiyodai. So someone who did an Avera, so we see later this talking about even if he was interrupted between his Tfilin Shel Yad and his Tfilin Shel Rosh, he's not allowed to go to war. He has to go home. We don't want any bums in our war. God help us. So no bums in the war. Okay, so if that's the case, if this guy stole a house, so anyway, he would have to go back from the war. So then why would we say that the Vav is coming to be Mamayat, a stolen house? A person who is in possession of a stolen house is not going to be allowed anywhere near the front anyway. Wow, what an amazing thing, huh? So apparently, we don't hold the Rabbi Yossi HaGlili in this brisa, right? No. It could be it's going like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and the guy did teshuvah, and he paid for the house, and now it's telling us, even though he paid for the house, he still is not able to use this house for a ptur. Well, why not? I mean, if he paid for the house, then he's a normal lokeach, and you said a lokeach is potter. Yes, but that's not the point. Remember, we're talking about Jewish soldiers over here, not the Wagner group, you know? It's unbelievable, right? So if this guy had originally had this house because he stole it, even though he did Shuvah Gemura, but he's going to use the same house that he stole as the Ptur, it's not a nice house. So because of that, he's not able to utilize this to be Choser. Mia Isha Shenata Karen. Okay, so you said it doesn't matter whether you were notea, you were mavrich, you were markiv, it doesn't matter whether it's a kerem of grapes or whether it's any type of fruit tree, and even if it's just five different minim, that's also a kerem. Let's see the makaris in the pasuk. Turn around, Bona. Asher nata. Okay, so a babash, the side would mean that means dafka natia. How about if he bought it? How about if it was yoresh, nitano babatana? Talmud Lomar, the same idea. Umiha ish ashenata. Not just minata, but anybody. Which means, whether or not he can do it himself, he manages to get it, and that's the whole beauty of money. Is that it's something that is not in your hands to do, suddenly becomes as if you did it. And then it says, kerem. Ein li ela kerem. How do I know that even chamishai lanim achal, and even if they're different species, Talmud Lomar, Asher Nata. So since it says Asher Nata, not Asher Kerem Nata, it's anything. Yorcho Shani Marba Notea Arba'a Ilanei Ma'achal. That's similar to the merpeset of a house, so to speak. It's like just a semi-house. It's a semi-kerem. Or even if he's got a lot of non-fruit-bearing trees, Talmud Lomar Kerem. No, it has to be similar to a kerem. It has to have fruit, and it has to be the minimal size of Chamisha. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, I hold a Kerem, just like hold a Bayit is a Bayit is a Bayit, I also hold a Kerem is a Kerem is a Kerem. And therefore, only if it's an actual grape vineyard, that's the essential meaning of a Kerem, and that's the way we understand the rose, the Kerem, not the rose of the Kerem, but the rose is a rose. And the same thing would be true of the Pasuk. We said, Lochila lo. What is the extra vav for? Because of a Lochila el. So what's the Lochila lo? We're not going to say it's the same thing as it meant by the Bayit, which can't be stolen. I mean, that's obvious. I learned that out from the din of the Bayit. Why would a Karen be any different? So therefore, this for Lochila lo has got to tell me something else. And that is Prat l'mavrich ulamarkiv. That if he goes ahead and he did Havracha or Harkava, it doesn't count. What? It says Beferish in the Mishnah that it does count. What are you talking about? What then? Echad anotea, echad amavrich, echad amarkiv. What do you mean? Omar Rabbi Zera, Omar Rabbi Chista. Look, there's a big difference between Harkava of Iser and Harkava of Heter. It's the same idea that we had. If you take a woman to Isser, we talked about. If you stole the house. Same thing is true over here by the planting. If you planted it by mixing, let's say, one species with another, then you're being over on Kilayim. So then that's not going to potter you, even if you did teshuva and so on afterwards, right? Okay, so that would be the nafkamina. Now notice that we don't talk about havracha. We'll only address the problem of Harkava. But the reason we don't talk about Havracha is, as I mentioned earlier, because everybody knows that there's two different types of Havracha. One where you detached the branch after it grew the roots from the original, and one where you didn't. So therefore, obviously, there's going to be an afkamina l'alach about whether this is just a continuation of the old tree or whether it's a new tree. So that's a dover pashut. That there's a Havracha that would be considered to be a new Kerem, and a Havracha that isn't. But what about the Harkava? So Rabbi Zera says that according to Rav Chista, it depends what you did on Isser. So if you graft a tree of its own species, which happens very often, that you want to utilize the roots of an old tree that's been growing for many years, and that has been very successful in nutrients, you take a branch from a new tree and you insert it into a hole that you drilled in that older tree. So that would be okay. Now, wait a minute. I don't think that makes any sense. Explain to me what you're talking about. Harkavav heter. Tell me you grafted a tree of the same species. Well, what are they? Are they both of them? They're both within the years that are mechayev them orla netaravoy? So then what do I need to graft? The earlier one is already put on its own. So the graft doesn't change anything. So typically the boy ma'adam yishumi al darishana. I mean, any way I would be able to go back. Elamai, you're talking about a new tree onto an older tree. And the older tree already was podui, and therefore he was mechalalit, so to speak. And now he's got a new tree. The problem is that isn't correct la'alacha, because Rabbi Abbo says that in the event that you graft a yalda onto a zekena, the yalda becomes batel in the zekena, and it's already automatically post orla and not a revoy. So it's not going to help you because it's not considered to be a new tree. Now, this is a tremendous sugya. Obviously, this is not the place to go into the sugya, but this is a tremendous sugya, which is very relevant to the esrogim problem. Bilti murkav, right? So the problem is like this. There's two basic approaches to how to understand the din of Rabbi Abbo. When he says botla, what does he mean by botla? So there's a famous Ran. That the Ran says, this is one of those, you know, there's a number of different Rans that appear. We had some of the Rans in the Dorim. This one is an Avodah Zarah, but there's a number of different Rans that become these famous shitas of the Ran at how he defines things. Because remember, the Ran was really the transition between the Rishonim and the Acharonim. So that is, Talmidim say that in three Siddurim, he was like a Rishon. In the other three Siddurim, he was like an Achron. But, I mean, there wasn't anything that you could ask him that he didn't instantly know and tell you, even in the things that he was just a poor old Achron. Okay. But anyway, so he often utilizes the mindset of Achronim, which is, that's why we enjoyed, like, talking about the Ron Tzfaras and the Dorim and so on, right? Because in that transitional mode, instead of saying things the way they are, he would do the Achron thing of analyzing why things are. Because it would, for an Achron, it needs explaining. He does not just see things the way that the Rishonim saw things and can't just tell you what it is. So therefore, he's got a lot of these, like, well-known Ron issues. So one of the, remember this beautiful one about min b'mino, min b'sheno mino, of Isser v'heter, that's considered to be itself the chelik of min b'mino. Okay, just reminding you of the fun we had back in the Dorim. So this Ron talks about what bitlu means according to the Shita. So he says, actually, the issue over here is the din of zev zegorim. Because since the fruit is being nourished by two trees, one of which is post-Orla and Ravai, and one of which is new, so therefore, Zev Zagorim is Potter, and you don't have to worry about Orla and Kloya Kara. But then why does it say Bitlu? Says the Ron, because the din of Zev Zagorim is based on the concept of Bitl, because that element of the nourishment is Bitl to the nourishment of the host tree, right? Okay. So, but others learn that bitlo means literally bitlo, because the point here is you've simply added a branch to the old tree. It doesn't have a din of being a tree on its own. It's being nourished by the mother tree, the host tree, and this is like a branch of the host tree. Now, if that's the case, so then the harkava would definitely passel the esrog. You put an esrog and you graft it onto a lemon tree, so now this esrog is now a lemon, and therefore it would be completely non-esrog. But if it's going to be a din in the, so to speak, bitol only because of zev zegerim, so then you run into all kinds of other questions. Does zev zegerim mean that therefore it doesn't have a shame esrog just because it also has nourishment from a lemon? That's already a whole different can of worms. Anyway, so as you can see, this fascinating sugya b'nogeya, things that are surprisingly nogeya to us directly. But anyway, so according to Rabbi Abohu, then there wouldn't need to be chilulai on the grafted branch, right? So how would he be yotze from the milchama? Amr Abir Me'al, no. Listen. Loyalam yalda b'yalda. And there's still a chiyav. So you're saying, okay, so then anyway, he would have been chayzer milchama because of the first yalda, right? Wrong. Because it's talking about over here that the first yalda was planted not for fruit. What happened was his fence broke and he put in some vines to cover that space. But there was no intention of using them as a vineyard. And therefore, they're not considered to be vines for fruit, and there's no din of orla. And I'll prove it to you, because it says in the Mishnah, Hanotea l'siyak, somebody plants a tree in order to be a fence, or the korot, he just wants the wood, then it's pater mina orla. And because of that, the only thing that's chayiv is now the new graft. Okay, that's what the Mishnah is referring to, and that's heter, and therefore, it satisfies the requirements. We're looking for a case of heter and a case where he wouldn't have been putter from the original host tree. Gotcha. Well, hold on. Something's fishy about that case. Why is this any different? If I have a yalda, we said that according to Rabbi Avu, if we graft a young branch onto an old tree, that the din is over there, that the graft is butel, you said. But over here you're saying that the new graft is not batel. And even though the source tree, the host tree, is not chayav in orla, the graft is chayav in orla. That's not consistent. So why would it be any different? We should say the same thing is over here. Since it was put onto a host tree that doesn't have dinam of orla and kaloya kerem, so it should also be putter. No. Totally different. Look, Suppose you change your mind about the fence, okay? And you actually build a fence around the vine that you had planted to be the fence. So now the vine is not a fence any longer. Now the vine is a vine for fruit. It now becomes chayiv in orla ex post facto. Aha! So then that means that essentially what you're dealing with over here is a fruit-bearing vine that only because of the specific circumstances in which you were doche it from its fruit-bearing did it become potter, but it still is innately something that's chayiv in orla. Therefore, it's not going to be mavatal, this new branch which is for fruit. Why would it be? So of course there it's not mavatal. Mashain came the case of the yalda and yalda over there. You can't turn an old tree, teach an old tree new tricks. Does it say something about that? You can't do that. So therefore, if you would change your mind, you could turn it back into a tree that's chayiv in orla. Because mi karla pirikaima, that's the whole point, is that it's there innately for fruit. And in this case, however, you can't make it a young tree again. I'll prove it to you. What's the din of a tree that grows all by itself that nobody planted? Mahalocha is olu me'aleim chayovim ba'orla. Why? Nobody planted them. Because it means that trees are innately chayov in orla. And in order to potter them from orla, you would need to water them with the stuff that Barnea's holding, which is essentially a kind of poison. And therefore, he's... Thank you. Thank you, Kathy.
Rebbe, I'm in an oasis in the Sahara Desert.
Ay, ay, ay. Why did I open my mouth?
I'm kidding. I'm in an oasis in the Sahara Desert. And people make their parnassa here from trees. The whole town lives from the date palms and its products. That's the city's parnassa.
We always knew that Elima meant to the Barnea's neighborhood. Ein Elima Ella Barnea. That's why they were moving at the time. And they only stayed there for that brief period, Barnea. Anyway, so amazing. So if a tree grows on its own, it's innately chayiv b'orla. So therefore, the same thing is true over here. Now, wait a minute. There's such a simple solution to this whole big problem. We're making such a big fuss about it. Why can't we say that you're 100% right? The original tree would be enough to get you sent home. But maybe the original tree was owned by one guy, and the graft is owned by another guy who grafted it in. So now we have two people that are sent home. So why isn't that the simple point? So lukma bekerem shel shnei shutafim, that the first one goes because of the host tree, and the new one goes because of the graft tree. Omer of Papa, well, the very fact that Reb Yirmiyah did not say that teaches you something, doesn't it? It teaches you that a kerem that's owned by two shutafim is not called his kerem. And in Chosrina, love me, Orchea Milchama, it has to be uniquely yours. That's the whole point over here, is that it's yours. And it's sad that people should see that that person would die in the war before he's able to do his thing. But what is it? It's a group-guided thing? A corporation? A company? Who cares about that? That's why everybody shoplifts, right? Anyway, ask the Gemara, but why is this different than five brothers where one of them dies in the war and they all go back? Because they're all considered to be Yevamim. I mean, that's certainly, they're not all going to be the Yevams. So over here, it should also be a group kind of thing. And yet it says each one of them is considered to be Ma'aretz Isha. That's right. Because over there, each one of them could be the one that will be Isha. So we call it Ishto. But over here, kol chad v'chad, you can't call every one of the partners, you can't call it karmo, it's not his. But here, it will be completely his. Okay, so that was one approach. We've got another approach in which we could have a branch that is actually a not going to get into the problem of chozer from the marchei mokoma because of the host, and yet, nonetheless, will potter only because of the new branch. Very simple. It's the old pumpkin. Yet you did is you planted, you were markiv a elon onto a pumpkin. So since pumpkins don't have a din of orla, and Kaloya Kerem. I'm sorry, of Orla and Netaravoi. So therefore, they're not considered to be trees. And because of that, if it starts growing, then that means that this is considered to be its own new tree. That's the point. Okay. So again, the language is a little bit problematic. This is mavrich, really means markiv. It could be because essentially it works the same way because it takes root in the bottom through the pumpkin. It's not really growing out of the pumpkin. And vahaitanu, that would be going according to the Mandi Omar and the Mishnah, who said, I mean the Braita, the truth is this is a Braita, but our Mishnah, in other words, is this Braita, the Tanya HaMavrich Ilan Biarak, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is Matir, so he didn't do anything wrong. Mishum Reb Yehuda ben Gamdi Ishkvar Ako, say that the Chachomim Aser. So according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, there was no Iser done. And if there was no Iser done, then we're not going to exclude it from the din of the extra Vav. The Aser of Dimi Om Reb Yochanan, it's very simple. There's no problem. It's going according to Amoni Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov. It has nothing to do with Hakavas Heter and Hakavas Iser. It has to do with the sheet of Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov. Because didn't Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov just say, the word bayit means a bayit and only a bayit. And the word kerem means only a kerem. Fine. So then the word nata means nata, not mavrich and not markiv. So the Mishnah holds not like that. The Braita holds yes like that. What's the big deal? Okay. Once we've already quoted Rav Dimi, he's teaching us what Rabbi Yochanan said, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, we've got other things like that. What about a bonsai tree? So if you've got a bonsai tree, it never grows more than a tefach, ever. Are the fruits of the bonsai always considered to be orla? Said Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, yaldap chutami tefach, chayevet b'orla kol shenotea. It never gets out of being orla because it looks like it's a baby. And therefore, even though it's a midget, you cannot eat its fruit because people will say you're eating orla. But this is only where you've got not a real size kerem, where you've got shtayim keneged shtayim, v'achat yotze zanav, which is technically a kerem. But if you got a whole big vineyard, so then kola yisrael, everybody knows, wow, this guy's got a bonsai kerem, unbelievable. So nobody's going to think that you're eating the orla, and because of that, it's well known.